We are going to have a baptism today, and so I'm just going to share for a few minutes, and then Andrew's going to come and share a bit on baptism, and then we'll have the baptism. I was encouraged by the testimony that was shared, because if I did the math correctly, you were 11 when you came to the Lord. Is that right? Yeah, so I think Jonathan is 10, I think, so very similar, right? And it's neat to see him making a decision at a young age to say that publicly he wants to serve the Lord. For those that are online, just you may not have heard, but because you're going to get a quick sense in what I share of this morning, my in-laws are in Bellingham right now. They had their test on Wednesday morning. They needed that back by Saturday morning, and we're now Sunday morning, and we don't have the test back. And so based on the laws of the land, they're not going to cross the border, which will be really disappointing for us, but we're still trusting that God holds the king's heart in the palm of his hand, and should the Lord choose, he can move the border guard's heart when that test comes and allow them to cross or not. We're just whatever the Lord has. But it has been a test for us, for Whitney, for her parents, for me, finding myself anxious at times. And so just really quickly this morning, I'll share for a few minutes something in our walk with the Lord, and thinking of someone that's walked with the Lord now 72 years, in the midst of the valleys, like you mentioned, and those are the times where we have a test or a trial, we have a choice to make. And one of the critical things in our walk with the Lord is that we can be, that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And I was just reminded of that this morning, and just meditating on passages this morning to strengthen myself. I woke up this morning, and again, I was just, at times I have rest, and then at times I'm anxious, wondering, are we going to get the test result? When they get the test result, is it going to be a yes when we cross or not? And just a challenging situation. One you want to be able to solve, and you can't solve it. There's no solving it, despite my thoughts and other people's thoughts as to how. So in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David is in the midst of a trial. You probably know this story, but this is where the one real passage comes from. He's gone out with the Philistines. They've sent him back because many of them don't trust him. They come back. The town that they were in, Ziklag, has been burned. All their people and all their stuff have been taken. Their families have been taken. And then upon that, his men want to kill him because they're just so upset. And it says there, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. And I was just meditating this morning on different passages, and you can probably think of others, but I think of Jehoshaphat is a familiar one, and I believe it's 2 Chronicles 20, where he says, he's praying, he calls everybody together for a fast because there's these armies coming against him, and he just cries out and says to the Lord, in the midst of this assembly, he just says, Lord, these armies are too great for us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And to me, even as I was writing that down before, I was just sitting in the side room here, and I was just, again, just trying to fight this anxiety that wants to come. It's amazing, because you think of that verse, and it's so easy to forget what comes immediately after that. And the verse after that, or two verses after, the prophet stands up and says, basically, you don't need to be worried. So basically, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, because this battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. There's a time where Hezekiah, Sennacherib, and I think it's the Assyrian army is coming against them, and they send this, he kind of cries out to Isaiah. Isaiah, I think, sends back a word to encourage him. Then Sennacherib sends a letter again threatening him. Hezekiah gets this letter, and he just goes before the Lord, and he just lays it down before the Lord, and it's just like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Like, you just have this picture of somebody that's just broken, but they're coming to the Lord. They're not turning to other things. They're coming to the Lord and turning to him to find their strength and to find help in that moment of need. That's why Paul, or the author of Hebrews, sorry, I assume Paul, I shouldn't. The author of Hebrews says, coming boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we even see it of our Savior, Jesus Christ, because right after that passage in Hebrews 4, we get to Hebrews 5, and there we see, it speaks of Jesus, and it says that he was saved from death. We know that he was not saved from natural death. He died for us. Praise God that he was willing to go to the cross. But he was saved. It says that he, right there in Hebrews 4, it says that he's been tempted in all things as we are. He can associate with our weaknesses and our struggles. But he was tempted in all those things, and yet he did not sin. How did he overcome? Well, it says that in Hebrews 5. It says through loud cries and tears, he was saved. He gave us an example of what it looks like. We can see it in the garden. We see him crying out, and you just see the humanity in that case, I think, of Jesus, of him crying out and saying, Lord, I don't want to do this. If there's another way, let's do it a different way. But not my will, Lord, your will be done. You just get great pictures when you stop and you just think, and the Lord says, Lord, show me examples from your word of how men and women of faith in the word of God and even my Savior strengthen themselves in the Lord. And when we ask him, man, he is there to give us examples of that, of the ways that he strengthened, that different ones strengthened themselves in the Lord. And just a couple passages, and I'm not giving you time this morning to turn there because I don't have a lot of time just in the interest of this baptism, but I was just thinking of a few passages. But I read yesterday if you're anxious, where do you go? Many of us probably quickly go to Philippians 4, right? And be anxious for nothing. And you know what I read there that I probably haven't noticed before, but it says there, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. But it also says, and let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. And when I read that, the Lord is near, that was actually the part when I read that really encouraged me yesterday. You know what? The Lord could see as the 72-hour mark passed yesterday morning, I could still say, you know what? The Lord is near. We're now past the mark where they can come, but the Lord is near. The Lord is in control still. It's not like, oh, oops. Oh, I forgot. It was 72 hours. Sorry, Martins. He didn't forget. He's near and he's in control and he sees us in the midst of the test, in the midst of the trial. The Lord is near. I was reading in Isaiah 51 at the beginning of that. It says, those who pursue righteousness and those who seek the Lord, it says, consider the rock from which you were hewn. Consider the quarry from which you were dug. It says, remember Abraham. Remember Sarah. That's when it's saying the rock from which you were hewn. He's referencing back to those ones. And what do we see of Abraham? And what do we see of Sarah? It says of Abraham in Romans 4, and I went back to this. I've always been encouraged by this passage. It says that he considered his own body as good as dead. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. In hope against hope, he believed. And in circumstances, we've had many people, and my mother-in-law was saying yesterday, it was hard for her because many people have been saying to her, oh, you're going to get a cross. I believe it. And she said, I don't know I'm going to get a cross this border to see you. And it's been a lot of tears for my mother-in-law, and in our home a little bit. You know what I can say is in hope against hope, I believe, not that they'll cross the border. I do hope they'll cross the border, but I don't have some word of the Lord saying they're coming. What I can say is that I was thinking of this song, Sovereign Over Us, and this author of this song wrote these words. It says, he is working in our waiting, sanctifying us. We can consider it all joy when we encounter various trials. The hope we have is not necessarily a hope of a certain outcome in a certain situation. Yes, we can hope for that and we can pray for that. But Lord, let me hold all those things loosely in light of the greater hope. Lord, I want to know you. I want to be changed into your image. Lord, it's easy to say this even now. This is real. It's easy to say that and sound super spiritual. Oh, I don't care if they come or not. I just want to be changed into his image. I do care. But above all, I would say, Lord, not my will. Your will be done. And change me. Make me more like you and strengthen me. Let me be one that can find strength in the Lord. So that's my encouragement in just a few short minutes to you this morning. I have many things I wrote down that I could share, but let us be a body. Let us be brothers and sisters that when we go through a trial, when we go through a valley, we just come back broken to our knees and say, Lord, strengthen me this morning. Help me to find strength in you today. And we can be brothers and sisters that can encourage one another as well in the Lord. What a blessing to have a body of believers that we can pray for one another, we can ask for prayer, we can encourage one another. But we have great examples in the Word of God of how we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord, how we can pour out our hearts to the Lord, and to know that we have a Savior that cares so deeply for us, and works all things perfectly for our good. And if it ends up being that they drive from San Antonio to Bellingham, and then drive from Bellingham back to San Antonio, never crossing the border, I can tell you now, I don't know what good there is in that. I don't see the good in that right now. But I can trust the Lord that perhaps there will be good. My hope is still that they actually make it those last few miles to Abbotsford. That's my hope. But my hope is, I have a greater hope, right? That's the part. We have a greater hope that God can work all things together for good. And we can trust him in that. And so my encouragement to you, I don't want to stand here sounding overly spiritual. Trust me, it's hard for us to know they're so close and yet can't cross. But the critical thing is that, Lord, let me find strength in you and trust you that in all circumstances, you have a perfect plan. Whatever it is, that I can accept it from your hand. And in time to come, I could say, Lord, I don't know. Maybe the Lord's working. Since they've left, three people in their church have passed away. So elders, deacons there, if you saw this body, there's many elderly individuals, but the deacons there, there's not a lot of churches that I'm aware of that work this way. They're now having to, you know, share on Sunday mornings. They're having to administer funerals while my father-in-law's gone. He's the only pastor. He's the only paid individual. I think maybe there's a receptionist. And yet I was encouraged, thinking, man, these brothers down there, they're stepping up to do things that are probably outside their comfort zone. So I can't see all the ways God is working in the midst of this. All my father-in-law has done is sent back a note saying things are not going as planned. You better start thinking about contingency plans because we're going to be longer than we'd planned. So God is working in circumstances. I'm just using this as an example, but God is working in many ways we can't see, but we can trust him. So anyway, a few words of encouragement for you this morning.